This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
As the coronavirus pandemic swept across the nation, federal and state governments relaxed or suspended regulations so the healthcare system could move swiftly to deal with the crisis. Dr. Josh Umbair of AtlasMD says that proves those regulations were not needed and the changes should be made permanent. Doctor, as we have worked our way as a nation through this COVID-19 pandemic, one thing we have seen is the federal government repeatedly either suspending or eliminating regulations in order to move along treatment, to move along, hopefully, the development of a vaccine. Tell us a little bit about the regulations that have been relaxed. What do you see as a major advancement in that area?
I think one really interesting change is telemedicine rules. For the last decade and a half, they've said telemedicine in terms of phone calls, text messages, emails, video chat, those are off limits. Those are too insecure to manage patient care. And I think that was detrimental. Patients had to wait longer to access their doctors, insurance wouldn't pay for it, all these sort of things that negatively affected patients. But now suddenly in a crisis, we can, with the stroke of a pen, waive all that. It's suddenly secure enough, and it's great. So as frustrating as that was for 10 years that they held back innovation, it's at least all happening very quickly that they're saying that this is a great way for patients to get cost-effective care. It's helping with shortages because now doctors can manage patients from anywhere in their state, or if they're licensed in multiple states, especially mental health, the anxiety, depression, alcohol abuse that comes with a pandemic like this requires access to professionals that are in short supply. And now they can reach out further, faster, without necessarily requiring an office visit. So that in one instance is a very interesting way that pulling back government regulation has been beneficial.
These regulations that have been pulled back, Josh, are they temporary rollbacks or is this going to be a permanent situation?
I think we've yet to see that final answer. My talkings with different physicians from across the country, they've heard that insurance changed billing and said, okay, we'll pay for full office rates for the telemedicine visits, but really only because the clinics were struggling to even keep their doors open because volume went down so much. And some insurance companies are saying that they're going to revert back to the previous undervalued pricing, either July 1st or August 1st, depending on the scope of the infection. That'll be a huge problem. I think the government is going to be slower to act. I don't think they have as much appetite for rolling these back. In the sense, Medicare patients have responded very well to this, and that's keeping them at home. And they're going to be the most at-risk population for a much longer time. So I think they're going to see that pressure from those residents to say, I still want to be able to access my doctor this way. Don't suddenly take that away from me. So the legality will be one part, but the financial model might be another piece to the puzzle.
Let's talk for a minute about the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration. The big push now, of course, is to come up with a vaccine for the coronavirus. We have seen that the FDA is removing a lot of barriers, speeding up timetables. Do you see this as a good thing? And does this sort of indicate that maybe those regulatory hurdles and timetables were not really necessary to begin with?
First principles thinking would tell us that we probably can get to the heart of the matter much faster than we have. For instance, I went to med school with a gentleman whose dad was the lead researcher for Allegra, and it took two semis of file boxes for them to go through the FDA approval process. It's important. We want to take time. We want to be smart with new science, new medicine. But at the same time, we don't want to slow that down. And I think just wartime style effort, we realize just how fast we can move when we need to. We can put a man on the moon faster than we can regulate most medications. And they realize that there's too much of a need for this. Let's find out where there's waste and remove that. And the government's full of waste. The bureaucratic answer to a red tape problem, it tends to be more red tape. And long term, I think we're all hoping that this allows us to get medications into the system in a smart way, a safe way, but a much more cost-effective way, a faster, more efficient process for patients who have a high need.
Another avenue are so-called right-to-try laws, right-to-try legislation. Where does that stand, and what do we mean by that term?
The right-to-try legislation gave drug manufacturers and terminal patients the ability to go ahead and try a medicine that has otherwise not been approved. A lot of times these are cases where there's just not enough patients to do the same 10,000 patient study type model. There might only be 100 people with that disease. And if they're already dying because the medications that are available aren't working, then why would we hold someone back from trying a new medicine in the last few months of their life if that might advance the cause? And that's been incredibly helpful for people because some of these medicines are life-saving. And if we can help the sickest people at the final stages of a disease process, that bodes very well for being able to help healthier people earlier in the process roll back cancers. And now the approval process, the regulatory burden means that these medications won't have to be nearly as expensive because there weren't as many hoops to jump through. Now that the FDA is seeing that in COVID, we're getting to do not one test, but 100 tests all at the same time so that we find the best answer in the shortest amount of time.
We have been talking with Dr. Josh Umber, who is founder of AtlasMD. Doctor, tell us a bit about AtlasMD and where can folks go to learn more?
They can go to atlas.md/Wichita to learn more about our model of direct care, or they can go to atlas.md/MAP, M-A-P, to find a doctor like us in their area. We are what we call direct care. We are a flat membership-based type model, so $10 a month for kids, $50 a month for adults for unlimited care.
Dr. Josh Umber, founder of AtlasMD. Josh, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.